Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk, a ministry produced by the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. Dobson today, and we are so glad you've joined us for this broadcast. We understand this time of year can be very stressful for parents, with kids going back to school and all. So for the next 3 days, you can listen to programs devoted to encouraging and uplifting moms and dads. Now, no one can replace the relationship a mother has with her kids. She is tasked with pouring love and encouragement into her children's lives while also disciplining and directing them. Today on the broadcast, you're going to hear Family Talk's co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and his conversation with Angela Thomas Farr. She's an experienced writer, speaker, teacher, and most importantly, a committed mother of four. On this program, Angela and Dr. Clinton will talk about the responsibilities that fall to every mother. They will also discuss why families should eat together and how parents can create boundaries but still have fun. Well, there's a lot to get to, so let's get to their conversation right now on this edition of Family Talk.
It's great to have you. As we get started, I know that your mother passed away not long ago, and briefly tell us a little bit about your mom.
You are so great to remember that my mom went home to be with the Lord, and it's been, for all of us, my dad particularly, but all of us, such a time of, I just keep saying we're tripping through it. We're so thankful. We know she's healed, and she's whole, and she's with the Lord, and yet we just miss Mama, and I had no idea the direction of our call today, of our program together. And this morning, you should know that I was in my backyard. I had traveled about 5 hours to my parents' home place and dug up irises, my mom's favorite flowers. She'd been growing them for years, and so this morning about 7:30, I was in the backyard planting my mom's flowers, thanking the Lord for Mama, for the tenderness, how she enjoyed her family, and she enjoyed the Lord's gifts to us, and she enjoyed His creation, and just in the backyard with a shovel, thanking God.
What I love about Angela, Julie was telling me this morning, Tim, she is a wonderful Bible teacher. There's nobody like her on our circuit for extraordinary women. She just comes alive and the women love her. But Angela, it also gets pretty raw and real just about everyday issues of life, because Angela, you want to meet women where they are. Isn't that what your ministry is all about?
Well, and that's what the Word of God is intended to do. So as a Bible teacher, that is my heart's desire, to take this beautiful word that God has given to us and to relevantly and as powerfully as the Lord will allow to apply that to the lives of women and moms and teenage girls and everyone that the Lord lets us be in front of.
Angela, tell us a little bit about your kiddos for a moment, because we're going to talk about a bunch of things kids need from their moms, but tell us about your kids.
My kids, I have four. Oldest daughter is 22, a 19-year-old son who's a freshman at Liberty University.
Yes.
My sophomore in high school is William. He's 17, and my next daughter is a freshman in high school. She's 15, and then about a year ago, we added a boy from South Africa. He's 17. And you know my journey, but our listeners may not know that I have these children. But about 10, 12 years ago, I love that the Lord helps you forget. We went through a separation and divorce, and so I spent 7.5 years as a single mom with my four kids. And then almost 5 years ago, God sent a man with as big a heart as I've ever encountered, and he wrapped his arms around all of us, and we married Scott Farr about 5 years ago.
Angela, let's talk about where kids are today. It's a little different growing up today than it was back in the day for us. You know what I'm saying?
For me and for you.
Yes, indeed. And when you think about that, moms have some added burden here about connecting with their kids and what she needs to give to them. Set us up, because I got a bunch of questions coming your way.
Well, you know, when you and I were growing up, and I'm sure it was the same for both of us, we could go outside and play. We could be gone most of the day. At playing in the woods and building a fort.
We did.
Mom would say, hey, be home for dinner, and we would. But none of us can allow our kids to do that anymore. There are places in the world where you could live like that. But I can't, and I live in a really nice, safe place, but I can't let my children do that. So what that means for moms today is that we are even more hands-on. When my children were playground age, if they were outside, I had to be outside with them. I needed to be there with them, which means no one's in the house making dinner and no one is inside doing the laundry. No one's inside doing the things that need to be done. So it begins to accumulate.
It does.
The burden is heavier and just the responsibilities become so much more. Add to that our increased responsibilities, the culture that we live in, and the boundaries that we as moms who follow Christ are called to put around our kids. And we're working triple time to just provide and protect and to care for them. And we long to cultivate godly kids who enjoy the Lord and know the sweetness of His presence. That's a lot on the plate of every mom that I know.
These kids are growing up in a world of rejection. There's a lot of stuff out there coming against them. And mom's presence and her love is everything.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's the only love they're getting.
That's right. And so I've asked the moms who I have the great privilege of speaking to, do not stop. Because your kids are going to get to an age where they might give you the idea that they don't want you to hug them anymore or touch them. And someone gave me a piece of advice a long time ago, and I have seen its fruit as my children are growing up. He said, don't ever stop touching your children. They need to feel that physical touch of their mom. And so what that has meant for me, as my boys have become teenagers, they still hug me, but I don't pass them without touching them. Maybe I just touch their shoulder or touch the top of their head. But if I'm going to go by them, they're going to get a touch because I don't want them to ever forget what it feels like to be touched by their mom. And even when they're completely dorky, you know, 15 years old, and like, oh, I'm going to put my arms around them and give them the hug. It's not too much and it's not inappropriate. It's just me reminding them, I love you so much. I want you to feel that every time I pass you. I am for you. This world might give you the impression that it is against you, but here with me, you are loved.
You know, research out there says that kids do need touch. Mm. Some people say 9, 10, 11 touches a day, different types of touch. Grace Ketterman, she was a pioneering Christian psychiatrist for children. I talked to her one day and she said, Tim, listen to me. Listen to me, boy. Let me tell you something. She said, I really believe, Tim, that kids need 100 touches a day. And you know what? It dawned on me. It's the way we often communicate love to them. We know kids spell love T-I-M-E, but they also spell it T-O-U-C-H.
Yeah.
Touch. They need that. And for like boys, that could mean wrestling with them.
Yeah, I actually had a pretty decent arm and a softball glove. But then when the boys could burn my hand through the glove, then we had to stop pitching. But I could do that for a while. But they still love it. If I will just shoot basketball with them, they don't want me to be good. They don't care if I miss every shot. They just love that I care enough to come out there and say, give me the ball. Watch, Mama. Let me show you something.
I love that. And, you know, more research is coming out, Angela. You talk in your book, 52 Things That Kids Need From a Mom. You talk about table talk. That sitting around the table thing is really important, isn't it?
You know, a lot of families do this. They have their own little way to start a conversation at dinner. But what I have realized is so interesting to me. My child will come home from school and we'll drive in the car to go to soccer, or we'll drive in the car to go run an errand. We'll be together. We will interact. And yet, if we don't ask them specifically at dinner, high point, low point, there are things that come out in that setting that I haven't heard about. I'm like, well, why haven't you told me that? But there's something about that consistency of they know when we're together. And another piece of this is, in our family, we have decided that it's more important to eat together than to eat early. So, Tim, sometimes that means that we're having dinner at 9 o'clock at night, which we've decided is very European and cool. Eating at 6 is not working for us because the coaches are not on our game plan. They're not on our family schedule and the youth ministry and all the things that we really enjoy that our kids are a part of. So there are a couple nights a week, it might be 8:45, and we sit down together, and that's so valuable to us and to them, and I'd rather wait and just be together and have a snack till everybody gets home because the sweetness around the table is so good.
And it's not about food. We know the importance of healthy eating and nutrition, but it has nothing to do with food.
No. No.
It's all about that connection that's going on. And by the way, the family stuff that's being transmitted generationally here is really significant.
Yeah. And in my house, and I started this when I was a single mom because I was just before the Lord so many times asking God, how do we do this? And as a single mom, I was asking the Lord, what to do? Are there things we can establish? And one of our mealtime things was I would go ahead every meal, you know, macaroni and cheese, and we would light the candles, and someone would turn on dinner music. And it'd be something like Frank Sinatra or, you know, something soft and pretty. And I'm not kidding you, to this day, the kids will say, get the candles. Well, turn on the music. Because it just set the tone. It centered our family around the table, even when it was just me and the kids. And, of course, I was half scared about our future, but determined I had the honor and the privilege of setting the tone for our family because of Christ's appointment of that. And it's sweet to see how they still long for that in our time together.
I'm Roger Marsh, and you are listening to Family Talk, a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. We will return to Dr. Tim Clinton's interview with author and speaker Angela Thomas Farr in just a moment. This broadcast is supported by listeners just like you. Your financial assistance sustains us through these summer months. If you're able to help with us financially, we encourage you to contact us. You can make a donation online at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call toll-free to donate there at 877-732-6825. Okay, let's rejoin today's conversation now with Angela Thomas Farr, talking about her book, 52 Things Kids Need from a Mom. She begins by talking about what it means to be a groovy mom for your kids. Let's listen to the remainder of Angela Thomas Farr's conversation with Dr. Tim Clinton right here on Family Talk.
Well, and I tell you truly, we should all just ask Julie Clinton, Tim's wife. She is one of the most groovy moms I've ever known in my life. She's truly it.
She's fine. And,
but here's where that came from. I was dropping the children off at carpool one morning, and I was in gym shorts and a T-shirt. I was on my way to the gym when I dropped the kids off. But I was going to come back later for the kindergarten Christmas party at school. And Anna Grace, my baby girl, she just about out of the car, and she turned around and she said, Mom, when you come back today, will you be a groovy mom? And I knew what she wanted. She wanted me to wear cute shoes and my cute jeans and do my hair. And she just wanted to be proud of her mom. Not that I had to be fancy or out of a magazine. She just wanted me to try a little. And what I've noticed is that sometimes as moms we can get so tired, and understandably so. We're carrying so much and the schedules are crazy, we become so tired that for some of us we can stop trying. We don't have to do that every day or for everything, but occasionally it really is sweet for your children that you decide, okay, groovy mom, that's what they're going to get today.
Nice. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, Angela, is out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Paul was talking to Timothy, and he said, you know what? When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, it all started where? First of all, in your grandma,
yep.
Lois, and then in your mother,
yeah.
Eunice. And there's this faith factor piece, Angela, that I really love. You talk about letting them catch you being with God. And you wrote this beautiful piece in there called Praying with the Door Open. I like that. Can you tell us about it?
Praying in secret with the door open. Sometimes I think we have to get away from everything to be with the Lord, or get away from everybody, close the door, and be just alone. And I have decided my kids need to see me being with the Lord. When they were very little, I actually could not close the door, because you know if you close the door, then they just want to bang on it. So I thought that I had them entertained. Maybe I had put on a video or something for them to watch, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have my time with the Lord. I'm going to have a quiet time. And I'd go to my bedroom, leave the door open, and I started a long time ago just the practice of laying on the floor to pray. And what I realized is that my kids would, of course, they come to find you when the house is quiet. My kids would come in, and they began to do what kids are going to do. They crawl on top of me and play with my hair and lay on top of me, and they'd say, Mama, what you doing? And but eventually, they'd come, and they'd lay beside me, too, and they'd pray a little bit, and then they'd run off. And there were no rules for them. There were no rules for me. And I'll never forget my William. He said, Mama, what were you doing in there? I said, well, honey, I was praying. And he said, well, it looked like you were sleeping. The visual is everything. You can talk to them all day long about you need to spend time with the Lord, but when they see it, and they see it again, and it's consistently a part of their lives, I think every kid should have to slide their mama's Bible out of the way so they can eat their cereal in the morning. They need to see those things, and they won't think about it yet, but one day they'll remember, I always had to move my mom's Bible out of the way to eat my cereal.
It reminds me of that old song, My Mother's Prayers Have Followed Me.
Yeah.
A lot of people listening saying, I know that old song. And by the way, I've lived that. Thank God for my mother's prayers.
That's right.
Angela, being attuned to our kids, I'm going to keep this thing rolling. Hanging up the phone, you talk about, hey, put the phone down and crawl into the world of your kids.
Yeah. They need to know, because I don't think we can teach them to do it for themselves unless we have shown them how, that they are much more important than the phone call that we've been waiting for or the text message that we're going to get. It is everything in me to be off the phone by the time I pull into the school parking lot for a carpool. The ringer's off, and I know that important things happen and important calls happen, but not now. Not now. I'll just have to call them back. And so it is, I think, so important for our kids in the same way catch that truth that we've asked them to not bring their cell phone to the table. We've asked them not to bring their cell phone to these things. But if we can't do that for them, they won't catch it.
I remember having dinner with a guy. We were talking about our kids. So let me share a story with you that you need to hear. He said, we wanted to get it all right. So family was everything. And so it meant you were to show up at the game. You're to be at the dance recitals. You're to do it all. And he said, Tim, I did it all. Then he said, I was having dinner with my son not long ago, and we were talking about my grandson, his son. And I asked my son a question. It was simply this, how'd I do as a dad? I really want to hear from you. And he said, Dad, do you really want me to tell you? And he said, yeah, I want you to tell me. He said, Dad, you were at the games. You showed up. But let me say something. You weren't there for me. Dad, you were there for you because that was a part of what you did in your job, but you didn't do it for me. And that took me back a couple of steps, Angela, because I know that sometimes it's like church. It's like our faith walk. We, quote, do some religious things, but that doesn't mean much because there is that verse in the Old Testament that says, though my people were doing all their religious duties, their hearts were far from me. You can be doing all these things as a mom or dad, and your heart's not there with your kids. And by the way, they can smell it.
You just reminded me of something. When both of our boys, your son Zach and my son William, are the same age, and they actually even kind of look alike.
Yeah, they do.
God built them the same way. They're little athletes who are good at their sport. when William was maybe around the sixth grade, I was at a soccer game, and a call came in, and I took it. I'm in the stands watching him. I adore watching him. And I had no idea. When we got in the car to go home, he was telling me about a play, and I said, yeah, I think I saw that. And he goes, no, you were on your cell phone. They may be out there, great athletes. He looked up to see if I saw. And since that day, the soccer game is cell phone off for me.
Yeah.
Because he's 17 now, and he's completely focused on his sport, but I don't ever want him to look up again and me have my phone on.
Angela, with your kids, some people think that, quote, letting your hair down a little bit and crawling into that space, you're taking away your role as a parent. But talk to us about laughing, fun, engaging our kids at the level and how significant that is for a moment.
I am a keeper of boundaries. And like you, raising these children in this world, I put up so many boundaries. We're not going to watch that kind of movie, and we don't play that kind of video game if it's rated that. And, you know, those kind of things that really, unfortunately, set you apart. You know, it just made us downright weird sometimes that my kids had to say, my mom won't let us go to that movie. But I just really felt inclined, and that it was under the Lord's direction that I was establishing these boundaries. What I have learned is, if you are going to put boundaries in the lives of your children, you cannot put boundaries and be a mean mom. If you're going to put these boundaries up, you better be fun. It needs to be fun to be at home. There's joy, and mom is dancing and singing and excited to go to the soccer game and rejoicing over all these little victories, because a child cannot live in a home where there are boundaries and there is a lack of play and joy and enjoyment of one another.
Because life's pretty rough. It's pretty brutal. It's not necessarily all fun. What about the tough people and the tough circumstances are going to come their way? How's a mom help her kid get ready for that?
My kids have gone through separation, divorce, a broken family, broken home, broken mom. I feel like, though, that how we teach them to walk through, if they can see in you a dependence on God, and I would even speak things to my children. I did not know if I believed myself, but I would speak to them in faith, and I would say to them, I know this looks really bad today, but I believe God has something else for us, and I know this really hurts today, but I believe God is going to heal, and I believe God is going to bless, and I believe God, and over him. The power that God has given to a mom and a dad is so interesting to me, because my children believed what I told them. And so as they believed what I told them, I realized that this was my place in their lives, as I learned to trust God more, to pass that to them, because circumstances are going to arise. I'm not going to be there. They're going to be at school, or they'll be at college, or they'll be at a game, and there are things that are going to come up, and there are disappointments that will happen, and so if they have learned from us to trust God even when it's dark, to believe him for bigger, to have an understanding that even God can heal the most desperately broken, then I think they can go out to face the world in that.
Angela, you get the final word. Speak directly to moms.
My sweet sister and friend and co-laborer, we have the best job assignment on the planet. And I know some days they forget to say thank you. And I know some days they act like they don't know you're there. And I know some days they have not said to you even kind things. But I want you to know that you are seen by God. And he is so pleased with how you love the ones he has entrusted to you.
Encouraging words from a godly woman who has been through the ups and downs of motherhood. We pray that you learned quite a bit from Angela Thomas Farr today here on the program and discovered how to apply these principles to your life. When you visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org, you can follow Angela's ministry there. You can also learn more about how to receive any of the books that she's written. Again, go to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the broadcast page. Finally, as we see the dog days of summer approaching, you may be trying to squeeze in one last trip with your family before we get to September. Well, while you're on the road, there is a simple way to listen to Dr. Dobson and Family Talk. Go to the broadcast tab at drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the stations icon. From there, you can use the drop-down menu to select the state where you are at that moment and see which station you are closest to. So don't do what I do and wildly spin the dial on your radio looking for our broadcast. Instead, go to drjamesdobson.org and use our station finder feature under the broadcast page. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow to hear an engaging conversation Dr. Dobson had with author and psychologist John Rosemond. They'll be talking about passing along godly wisdom that is helpful for parents at every stage of life. Don't miss the conversation next time on Family Talk, a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute.